Thank you. We continue our look at the Old Testament passages that help us to prepare our hearts and our lives for the good news of Christmas. And so today we look again to the prophet Isaiah, to some comforting words that Isaiah offered from the 61st chapter, the first four verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for all those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. For they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. May the Lord bless us a portion from His holy word. You know, this is one of those interesting texts because depending upon where you are, you're going to be hearing something different about this. If you were around in the day when this was first spoken, then you might think of a day that would come that would fulfill all of the laws that were put down in the scriptures, that it would be a time when the people would actually fulfill the obligations that the laws have given to them to fulfill, including setting the prisoner free. That was supposed to be done every 49 years, and every so many years you're supposed to, if you had a lien on somebody's property, you were supposed to forgive that lien, and the property was supposed to go back to them, and so on. There's a whole bunch of laws in the scriptures that a first hearing of this, somebody might think of. But then now we come at it from a little different context, because I don't know whether you heard it or not, but you might think of this as being that passage that Jesus spoke or read and spoke about when he was visiting his hometown synagogue. Do you remember that story? He pulled out the scrolls and it happened to be this passage from Isaiah. He said, you know, in your hearing this day, this has been fulfilled. And they all go, uh-huh. Okay, who is this guy? Why is he thinking that he has that kind of authority, that kind of power? This is one of those passages that speaks to us in different ways and different times in our situation. And it is a passage which has been fulfilled and is yet to be fulfilled. It is a passage that has come to fruition, but it is a passage that requires us to bring about its fulfillment. One of the interesting things about serving the church in Conklin, New York, was we had adopted a smaller congregation in the city of Binghamton, just about 7 miles between the two churches. And on Sunday mornings, two or three times a month, I would go over there to preach, and especially on the special days of the year. Now, this was a small little congregation. On a good day, 30, 35 people would gather in this little church on the corner of Broad Avenue and Robinson Street in the city of Binghamton. And what made this church particularly interesting was that its location was just a few blocks away from the Binghamton Psych Center. And as they deinstitutionalized people from the Psych Center, they liked to keep them in the neighborhood close to the center so they could go back for daily treatments and what have you that they might need, so they would have access to the facility there. And so what that did was that brought some very interesting people into the Broad Avenue North Chapel. One of them was a young woman by the name of Marie. Marie would be happy to tell you that she suffered from schizophrenia and had a number of other psychological ailments that beleaguered her. But she was a delightful young woman. Her grasp on reality was tenuous at best. She would carry baby dolls with her to church every Sunday and remind all of us every Sunday that she was married to Jesus, and those baby dolls were the babies that she and Jesus had together. And so Marie was always kind of you just never quite knew what she was going to do next. I mean, absolutely harmless, a delightful person in her own special way. But I remember it was the Sunday right before Christmas. And they didn't have a Christmas Eve service at that chapel. So this was the big Christmas service for them in this little church. And there was 35 or 40 people that day, because you do get some more guests on those kinds of occasions. And right in the middle of the service, Marie gets up to leave. And I thought to myself, oh no, I'm going to hear about this. Marie is disrupting the worship service. She is going to be disturbing everybody. Phone is going to ring tomorrow morning. What are we going to do about Marie? You can't have her doing this sort of thing. She's disrupting. And, you know, of course, my heart is going like, how am I going to deal with all this? I can't control her. I can't, you know, I have no, you know, my mind is just running to the worst case scenario. As she gets up, because she always sat right up in the front, and gets up and starts down the center of the aisle, disrupting the service. And my mind is going, this is terrible. I'm going to get the calls. My world is going to fall apart. I don't need this grief. When all of a sudden, the matriarch of the church, this dear woman, well into her 80s, struggles to get up from her pew, walks over to Marie, gives her a hug, and says, Merry Christmas. And then one by one, everybody in the church got up, gave her a hug, and wished her a Merry Christmas. Isaiah's prophecy. It was fulfilled in that little chapel on the corner of Robinson and Broad Avenue. It is a prophecy for all of us in our lives to continue to fulfill, to proclaim good news, to show Christ's love in this world, to help people to see what freedom really is. Maybe as we do all of our getting ready for Christmas, maybe part of what we need to do is to get our hearts fully ready to see how we have been freed, to see how God's love has touched us in that birth of the babe of Bethlehem. The one who could stand up in front of his hometown congregation and read this passage and say, in your hearing this day, this prophecy has been fulfilled. Maybe our preparation needs to include keeping our eyes open to see how we can show that good news, how we can proclaim freedom, how we can be ambassadors of Christ's love in this world, so that others might see in us the fulfillment of this prophecy. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, it is by your love that we experience love. It is by your grace that we experience mercy. It is by your Son, Jesus Christ, that we experience what freedom is all about. Help us, O Lord, to be your people, to have hearts that are open and eyes that can see, where it is that you would have us to show your good news, to bring your light into a world that so desperately needs good news and light. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.